You're listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network.
Pharmacy Podcast Nation, welcome back to the Pharmacy Podcast. This is the RX Safe Podcast Series. So excited to have back a visionary, someone who is innovative, someone who understands that pharmacy is not standing still. And if you are standing still, you are missing out not only on opportunity, but you're missing out on the ability to exist in a healthcare market that is moving at the speed of light sometimes, with all the barriers that a pharmacy owner understands. If you've been in business longer than 5 years, with what you're going through with PBMs, competition, national chains, tricks up the sleeve, lack of technology, lack of marketing. Regardless, I want to bring a superstar in the community pharmacy space on who's very entrepreneurial, very innovative, perfect for this series with the RX Safe adherence packaging focus that we're talking about. I want to introduce and welcome Richard Moon, who is the founder of Pharmacy Innovations. And I'm excited to have you, Rich. I'm really looking forward to this conversation.
I'm excited to be here. Those are very kind things you said.
Well, it's the truth. It's, you know, we have pharmacy owners out there who've been in the business for 10, 20, 30, some 40 years. And there's pharmacy owners who are innovative and moving forward. And there's other ones who are struggling because they aren't moving forward. And sometimes I feel like I want to provide guests and speakers on our podcast and shows that can be a coach, that can be someone that with through tough love can say to them, you have got to make some moves and changes or you will not exist, based on acquisition or based on going out of business or bankrupt or whatever it is. And we know that that's not in the best interest of our patients, because we know based on studies and data who the best provider of pharmacy services are, and that is an independently owned community pharmacy in their community. And you have really proven that. So before we get into some questions, because I'm really excited to dig into your mind as a pharmacy owner, I want you to set the stage for our listeners to let them know a little bit about you and the businesses that you're part of.
Well, okay. So I've been in business 30 years. I started because I saw, I guess, an opportunity where I could do the same thing I was doing for somebody else. At that time, I was home infusion. Started out in home infusion and built up a few stores here and there. We now currently operate 6 pharmacies in 6 states: Texas, Florida, South Carolina, Virginia, Pennsylvania, New York. We've got a research arm in New Jersey, and we've got a vitamin ancillary company as well as a cosmetic ancillary company. We have a boutique wholesaler that does some interesting work with some small pharma to bring opportunities to independent pharmacies to get more margin off of things than they could if there was a different distribution channel. And we've gone through areas where we've done home IVs, hospice care, nursing home. We changed our model in early 2000 to be compounding centric, and then have been over the last few years moving back into the traditional arena with a little bit more of a slant on who we go after as far as our client base versus trying to take care of every blood pressure patient on the street corner. That's just been our focus, and it's been working for us. We've got, I think, 100 employees now and, you know, a pretty significant book of business. One of the things that you mentioned about changing is actually is a story that I brought to my staff about, maybe it was about 15 years ago or 14 years ago. And I said, how come we're not growing, right? 2002, 2001, 2003. We're doing all the things that everybody else is doing. We're doing this, we're saying this, we're trying that, we're printing this, we're sending this newsletter out. Mm-hmm. And what I realized was that I was doing everything that everybody else was. And it was like trying to surf on a wave from behind, trying to catch up to the top of the wave, right? And in order to be able to really succeed and do something and to be successful at whatever it is, whether it's pharmacy or whether it's selling potato chips, right? You got to be an innovator of some sort. So that's what we started looking to things that nobody else was doing or very few people were doing, and trying to create markets that we thought would be good. We haven't always hit a home run. In fact, I don't know if I've hit any home runs, but we've hit a few singles along the way and has built a pretty nice business up as a result of it. So we've tried to be a little bit more innovative and tried not to copy everybody else and just do our own thing. I try not to worry about what else everybody else is doing in the market and just focus on what I know to be real. That's kind of not an elevator speech, but it's really how we got to the point where we look at the RX Safe machine and a couple others and different other lines of business that we do that perhaps some folks might not be aware of.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I wanted to lead into, Rich, is, you know, someone who's been in the business as long as you have, and someone who has also understood that you can't just do one. This industry is not about a one-trick pony anymore, per se, for lack of a better term. You really have to not only surround your patient with some customization services and the things that you're doing through compounding. The world of skincare is so impressive to me, because that's a demand that the consumer and your client and your patient has. And what better person and individual in healthcare to do that than a pharmacist, being able to take the world of compounding and deliver some of those solutions to someone needing extra attention in skincare. But now you're practicing what you're preaching to other pharmacy owners in order to give them leverage in the world of buying. And when I start listening to you and following your website, and for listeners, by the way, this will be in the show notes. You got to take a look at their website. It's amazing. It's very professional and very polished. PharmacyInnovations.net. But someone at your caliber, Richard, that can't be fooled by the snake oil per se or the gimmick. Someone needs to be investing in things that absolutely make sense to your business. Why did you choose RX Safe when there's so many other technology platforms out there and automation that's been out there that you've probably experienced through the years?
Yeah, we did. We took a look at the existing products that were on the market. I was looking to get a little bit more into a different line of service than just compounding, and leverage even what we have in compounding with some sort of mixture, if you will, to try to expand beyond the service areas where we are, I mean, necessary to grow. And as we were looking at the machines that were out there, I mean, I have a Parata Mini, and that's a great, great machine for counting and assisting the technicians, but it wasn't going to help me make a difference in our presentation. And I noticed a number of folks, especially started out in the nursing home industry, using the strip packaging and the unit dose or the adherence packaging and the different things that were out there. So we were looking at all of those, and we chose Bill's machine because it was a little different than the pre-filled cassettes. The pre-filled cassettes were nice, they're clean, they're neat, but they had a couple of things that I didn't think would fit. And I'll tell you why after I maybe describe them for folks if they're not aware. The cassettes that they have are pre-filled and predetermined with an aperture size so they can drop a drug through the aperture into a system where they seal it. And then you've got to take items that are not in your pre-filled cassettes. You might get 216 or 512 or whatever it is, cassettes with each machine. And if you don't have the medications in that machine, you've got to drop them in a tray, then drop into a set. And you're also tying up inventory in those cassettes. And I looked at the cost of that, and the limitations with us were, you know, I've got in compounding thousands of SKUs, you know, and if you look at vitamins added, there's another potential thousands and thousands of SKUs. If you look at Orthomolecular and Zymogen and, you know, Numedica and all the rest of the vitamins, including our own line, I couldn't justify having a building full of machines sitting idle with inventory in it to pop out some strip packaging. So Bill's machine was kind of neat at RX Safe, and the Rapid Pack is that, I mean, it saves time on the back end because the checker is part of the system instead of taking the strip out of the one machine and putting it in another and optically and digitally checking it. It's all built into the RX Safe, the Rapid Pack system. It's a little slower on the front end because you have to load cassettes, but the advantage is I don't have to tie up inventory in any empty cassette that's sitting there. So that, we had to balance both that time and those operations, and then the efficiencies and the cleaning of the machine and everything else. I think the one disadvantage, I'll say up front, every machine's not perfect, but the dispensing the soft gel capsules has been a bit of a challenge. So I've been working with them on a couple of potential solutions for that for us. But overall, we're pretty happy with the ability that it gives us. And we approached it a little differently than I think most people, and building on making it a success. If you looked at our website, you probably noticed the ApotheaPack link on there. I don't know if you got a chance to look at that.
Yes, it's nice. You're marketing that. You built a box that has the branding on it. It makes a client, a patient feel like they're getting something very special, which it's now customizing their meds. I really like that.
Thank you. I like the little cartoons too. I love those little whiteboard cartoons. But so we did. We invested and made sure we had the name trademarked and, you know, a nice a neutral color design and put some time and effort into it. And we market it along. We mail out quite a bit, and we have a number of conversations with people every day. So we have a script that we market folks with. We have 4x6 cards that we have printed that go out, and they're basically mini websites. They're done nicely. We have an in-house professional that does some graphic design and our social media. So everything is coordinated, whether we've got a vitamin pack for our current day and times with our COVID virus, right? We've got an immunoboost pack that we can add to your vitamins or your regular meds or your compounds that you get from us. So it's a little bit of a different approach. We looked at a lot of competitors' websites and colleagues' websites too. I mean, some of the folks at NCPA have got some really nice things done and they're doing a really good job. And some of the really bigger guys have some things that taught us well. And if you want to go look at their websites, am I allowed to say them here so people can go learn from them?
Sure, yep.
So there's Exact Care in Ohio, and there's a Wellnessity in Texas. You can go look at their sites. Obviously, everybody knows about PillPack, but you can even look at CVS's design and the rest of that and kind of see what everybody else is doing. And then my advice is to not duplicate what they're doing. See what you like about what they're doing and find something that's your own, even if it's your name, right? I mean, I just got a solicitation from a doctor who's selling his own vitamins the same way. So, I mean, there is some competition out there and there's some folks to be aware of, but there's a lot of people that you can learn from and, like I say, put your own spin on it. We go out of our way to do drug depletion with ours. With every single patient that calls us, we do a drug depletion. We don't ask them for it. We just do it. And then we present the data to them and see what they want to do about fixing their drug depletion. And that has worked fairly nicely.
So how are you deciding which patient to approach the vitamin therapies with?
Every patient that we have a chance to connect with.
Okay.
One of the advantages of having as many people that work for us as we do in the multiple sites is that that workload is split out amongst a lot of people. And then we get to funnel it into one site where the machine is. So I've got essentially 40 salespeople out there at my pharmacies talking to people about the drug depletion and what they can do for it or their concerns that they have and how we can help them. So having the staff do that makes some. One thing I guess I learned when I said I need to ride that wave from the beginning and not the behind is that you can't do it by yourself. You have to have good people to help you. And without my staff and without the people that work with us on our team, none of this would be possible.
So you have good people, obviously, that are working with you and for you. And the patient will see that. I mean, they're picking that up. They're getting that extra attention and that professionalism from your team, which I think makes all the difference, including your branding right down to, the logo of the bowl and pestle and the colors that you've chosen. Anyone listening, you're a pharmacy owner, you have to take a look at Pharmacy Innovations. Once again, like I said, we will have show notes down in the in the links down in the show notes. Rich, what do you say to a pharmacy owner that's kind of on the edge right now in choosing pharmacy technology automation, and what makes the difference from one system to the next? What's like the most important thing to you?
I think the most important thing that anybody has to do is, first of all, look at whether they can afford to buy the machine or not, right? And know that you can afford to buy a machine. You just have to be able to understand how you need to pay that back, because you can get a mortgage or a loan for it from any one of the equipment providers out there. So if you're going to buy a $500,000 machine, you're going to pay X number of dollars. If you're going to buy, you know, a machine like we bought, you're going to pay a different number of dollars, something that is more affordable to get to and more easily worked with. And you want to know what the output is going to look like and what your support is going to be. And you also have to know what you want to do with it, right? You don't want to just buy it, put it there, and have it collect dust. Say, oh yeah, somebody told me that was a good idea, I'm going to buy that machine. But you really want to know how you can work it. You want to know what you want to accomplish with it. And then, you know, you set the dream and you give people marching orders and they'll do it for you. Give them the tools to do it with. One of the things we did was a base calculation of how many patients we needed to pay for the mortgage on the machine. And that was eye-opening, right? I mean, how many new patients did we have to cover the cost of the machine? When you start breaking it down into patients per day, it really became a much more manageable chunk to think about. And I don't want to give you our exact numbers, but let's say we broke it down into, you know, somebody that got four prescriptions and we were making $5 profit on each prescription, that might come to, I don't know, maybe 22 new patients a day to pay for the machine. Or if it was prescriptions and vitamin combination, that might have come to maybe 16 or 14 people a day. So you start to do those kind of calculations and see where your at least cost break even is without worrying about the ROI. At least make sure you can break even and then start building that business. That's kind of how we approached which machine we would get. Again, what was the cost? What was the output? What was the input going to be? And how much that extra labor was involved to take care of what we needed to do?
When I think of pharmacy owners and their business decisions and some of the data that they look back on, and I think of turns per year of their inventory, how does that all play into the world of adherence packaging and being cognizant of what you're purchasing and keeping up with the demand, but then some way to predict what is going to be in demand based on flu season or back to school or a season that maybe you see a higher consumption of vitamins or specific medications. But give our listeners a little insight into that.
So the adherence packaging is for routine items, right? Unless you're going to get an extra immunopack for the virus system or an extra hair and nails vitamin boost for going into summer season. So you're talking about your seasonal things. They're a little bit more difficult to incorporate because you're taking all the advantages of doing it, of adherence filling, not managing your inventory, knowing when it comes in, knowing when the people are going to get it shipped or picked up, and just putting that in a strip packaging so it's easier on them. And they're actually much, much more compliant when they're pulling off a strip and taking it with them, traveling, going home even. So the seasonal variances in antibiotics and, you know, cough and cold and flu, what the packaging has done is brought us more clients. And so it's just boosted our ability to leverage those folks during that season. Right now we're in the hand sanitizer season though, I got to tell you.
Yeah. So
that's one of my staff in Erie is in the middle of making thousands of bottles of hand sanitizer. So I know they're not focused on the machine today, but we'll be getting back to that after we fill an order for one of the health systems in our neighborhood. Being recognized, and even though there are people out there with a machine like this, and I think I read some report that said 85% of the pharmacies are going to wind up with machines like this inside of 10 years, that's not a bad thing. And that'll still give everybody a chance to stand aside and apart and do something that's good and unique for the folks that come into their doors and build that brand loyalty.
I'm excited about what's happening. You know, there's been pharmacy owners that have been very tired and beat up that feel you know, that there isn't a future for community independently owned pharmacies. And then on the other side of that spectrum are organizations and leaders like yourself who have changed. You are not the same pharmacy owner today that you were, you know, 20 years ago. Your entire business has changed. And the reason why you're existing and that you're thriving is because you pushed for that change. And that's something that we advocate on the Pharmacy Podcast Network, and our partnership and the network that we're building is about encouraging that innovation and looking forward. And going back to what you were saying about not doing the Me Too game, you know, hey, this pharmacy's doing it, so I'm going to do it, me too. The communities that you're in even your communities, Richard, where you're in Erie, Pennsylvania versus New York, those are different consumers in those communities. So the flexibility of what you're delivering to them might be different from one store to another. But what do you see for the future for independently owned pharmacies? What do you call out right now to a listener that is either on their way to work, if we can lift this COVID-19 disaster away, or maybe they're just taking a break and they're listening to the podcast, but what do you say to that owner?
So I would give you a couple of tools and a couple of things to think about as opposed to telling you what to do, right? Because that didn't do me any good, right? There's a guy that passed away a little while ago, unfortunately. His name was Herbert Meyer, and he was a great mind. And he wrote a couple of small books on how to think about what to do to analyze how you get to do the things that I'm doing. He was the number two man at the CIA during the Ronald Reagan years and actually predicted the downfall of the Soviet Union and probably saved more lives than anybody in the history of the world by avoiding nuclear war during that time. But he wrote a couple of books about how to analyze data and teaching people about leading indicators and what they see out there. So I gave a speech a couple of years ago to my buying group, the Compounders Group is the name of that, and it was about robotics and what are robotics going to do for us and with us into our business. What happens when we have nanotechnology that can cure diseases, or self-driving cars when there's no Teamsters? And so those kind of things are indicators, and then there are leading indicators and trailing indicators, which isn't new for anybody that's gone through a business cycle and a business class and done projects with that. But my advice to you is to get a whiteboard, start writing all those things down that you think could possibly impact your business in a good and a bad way. And then don't be afraid of them. You know, put a rating on them, score them. Is this a good thing? Is this a bad thing? How good is it? How bad is it? Right, we all know the bad things in our business, the Darth Vaders, the umpires of the world that we have to deal with billing insurances. But there are good things out there too. And what are they? Where are they? Who are they? How do I find them? We all got into this sector of healthcare for a reason. We wanted to do a positive things for people that we take care of. Maybe some of us love pharmacy or research or love the idea of medical, but didn't want to be a doctor and didn't touch people, or didn't want to be a nurse and wanted to do something more. That is still there. That desire to succeed is still there. You know, you just got to take the negative and put it in a drawer. And part of it is compartmentalizing it. Like I say, get those couple of books by Herbert Meyer. You know, they're real easy reads. You can read them in a half an hour, 45 minutes sometimes. Get a whiteboard, start listing stuff, and then your own vision will come through. I met a young student once who said, I want to do a sports pharmacy. And everybody advised her not to do it. And I had a conversation. I said, well, why would you not want to do it? I mean, if you're passionate about that, open up a sports pharmacy. Just do your homework first, right? So do that basic. I'm not saying go back and write a business plan. I'm saying look at what the leading indicators are. Look at what the things that are happening in the world are, and put them on a whiteboard and start asking your staff about them. I mean, they're smart people that work with us. I mean, technicians are highly intelligent, you know, folks doing a very difficult job, and they know what's going on. You know, they know what's going on in the world. They know what's going on in the world better than I do. I got my head buried in my business most of the time. I've got to ask them who this person or that person is. So use them, ask them.
It's great.
Learn it, work it. Yeah.
Great advice. And I like how you said you're not going to tell them, you're just going to suggest based on learning. And That's how we empower each other, from one pharmacy owner who commands six or seven pharmacies in New York versus someone who's in San Diego. It's a suggestion, but it's also an ability to share ideas, and that's part of the power of what we began 11 years ago with the Pharmacy Podcast Network, is networking together to come up with new ideas in order to leverage, in order to thrive as an industry and as a subsector to healthcare. Community pharmacy is being such an important part of healthcare in the communities that you're serving. So I'm very impressed. I think that you're a pharmacy owner I'd love to have back on the show and really dig in deeper into pharmacy innovations. I'd love to hear more about the vitamin development as well as the clinical side of things, and get into maybe pharmacogenomics and counseling and consulting for patients. But it's been awesome to have you on, Rich. I just really thank you for sharing your vision of pharmacy and talking about the RX Safe systems and sharing about pharmacy innovations.
Well, I appreciate the time, and I'm happy to talk again. Those that know me know that I'm happy to talk.
Absolutely. We appreciate you. You're listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Nation. We were featuring RX Safe podcast series. We were talking with Richard Moon of Pharmacy Innovations. He's a superstar in pharmacy. Reach out to him. We'll have the link to the website in the show notes. And as always, we thank you for listening to the Pharmacy Podcast.
Thank you for listening to the RX Safe podcast series. Machine learning, intelligent technologies, and artificial intelligence is part of our global healthcare services future. Be sure to visit our website and schedule a time to talk with one of our pharmacy business consultants about the RX Safe technologies talked about on today's podcast episode. Visit us at rxsafe.com.